And let's begin. I see the meeting is being recorded. Thanks, Denise. Let's begin with a flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. This is Monday, October 26, 2020. This is a virtual public meeting of the Zoning Board of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, in that an annual notice is published in the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the township website, the bulletin board at the front of the municipal building, the front door of the public safety building, and fax to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, the Courier News, the Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger no later than the Friday prior to the meeting. Denise, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Lewis?
Oh, Cheryl, yes, here. Please. I'm sorry. Here. Here.
Thank you. Mr. Mattson?
Here.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Here.
Mr. McTiernan?
Present.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Here.
Mr. Roberts?
Here.
Ms. Rohrbach?
Here.
Ms. Stevens?
Here.
And Mr. Yeager?
Come, you're
here. Yeager's here.
Thank you. You have a quorum, Mr. Chairman.
Quorum, we have a full house.
Yes, that's what we do.
Including John Drill from Israel. Thanks for joining, John.
You're welcome.
It's early Tuesday morning, right?
It's a little after. It's 1:08 Tuesday morning.
Okay. All right. Take care of a couple of administrative items. New business vouchers. There were two vouchers in the stack this month. Does anyone have any questions or comments about those? Seeing none, okay, we'll approve them for payment. Next, we have the meeting minutes from September 28th. Eligible members are Lewis, McCaffrey, McTiernan, Roberts, Rohrbach, Stevens, and Yeager. And Denise, I found two small errors in the minutes. There was a problem with the date, and then there was a typo in the spelling of the word chairman. Did you get any other corrections?
I did not. I made those two corrections, and I did not receive anything from anyone else.
Okay. A motion to approve those minutes, please.
Motion to approve, Lewis.
And a second?
Second, Roberts.
A second from Roberts? Okay. And Denise, would you call the roll on that, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Lewis?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Roberts?
Okay.
Ms. Rohrbach?
Yes.
Ms. Stevens?
Yes.
And Mr. Yeager?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Okay, great. Thanks. All right. We're on to public hearing for DeFazio, 11 Round Top, applicant seeking a variance to construct dwelling on an undersized lot and under-width lot. Okay. And Sal DeFazio, are you leading the conversation?
I am here, and I am leading the conversation. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening to all. Thank you for having us. Sorry we couldn't be there with you in person. We have submitted a completed application. It seeks variances on the lot in question in the SR district for a minimum lot area, minimum lot width at the street, minimum lot width at the building, and two rear yard variances. For those of you, many of you may be familiar with the development. This is the development immediately opposite Ferran Field. It is an older development of smaller homes on undersized lots. I forwarded pictures of the houses in the neighborhood for your review. This particular lot was previously owned by a gentleman by the name of Misiak. He obtained a demolition permit from the municipality and tore down what was the then existing residence and obtained approval for construction of another home but never built. That property was then sold to Mr. Peck, whose attorney has joined us this evening, and I assume Mr. Peck is available as well. Mr. Peck likewise was granted approval, but did not build. Since that time, the zoning ordinance has changed somewhat so that there are a couple of bulk variances, in particular the lot size, I believe, and the rear setbacks have are required. And I have submitted for your review. I've on your checklist. We had asked for one waiver, but after that, I had Mr. Newton conduct. That waiver was for wooded areas and isolated trees with trunks more than 10 inches in diameter. I had Mr. Newton conduct that survey and provided you with a new map. And I see that the map that's up on the screen is a copy of the map that Mr. Newton prepared. This is, according to this map, there will be about 7 trees that meet the requirement, which would be in the driveway and where the structure is located. Other than that, it's a largely wooded lot. And we're seeking these bulk variances to build a 1,700-square-foot house. This development, if you know it, transitions from smaller homes on smaller lots, one of which was on this property, and then there is a private road that goes to bigger lots and bigger houses behind it. So I think this home will transition nicely from the smaller lots and smaller houses toward the back of the property where the bigger homes on bigger properties are located. We're not seeking to overdo the property. 1,700 square foot ranch is, as I'm sure you'll agree, not a big house for Hunterdon County. And we believe that these variances and the granting us the right to build will be in furtherance of the way this property was originally designed and was granted further permits. And we intend to build on it if you would be so kind as to grant us these variances.
Mr. DeFazio, this is John Drill. Just two procedural questions. The Misiak resolution, which granted the initial variances, what was the size of the house that was proposed during that proceeding, which was approved?
I think it was actually bigger than this house. It was a two-story house, as when Mr. Misiak planned it.
Okay, I got the resolution in front of me. Let me just see. Yeah, it was a two-level, 2,800-square-foot house. And then my other question is, you said that the ordinance changed and that there's therefore a rear yard setback. According to the Misiak resolution, the SR zone requires a minimum rear yard setback of 75 feet. What is the required setback right now?
The required setbacks on rear yard are 75 feet. The two that we are seeking variance from would be at 48.5 feet, 48.47, and 66.73. It may have been the side yard that changed, John, with the ordinance. It may not have been the rear.
Okay, so my question is, if the prior home was 2,800 square feet on two levels, and the home that's now being proposed is 1,700 square feet on one level, is that the difference in the rear yard setback? But that before it was 1,400 feet on each level for a total of 28, and now you have 1,700 square feet on one level?
That I think that's probably part of it. Also, I think they had the house pushed up further toward the front of the lot. This is set back a little bit further off the roadway than it originally was, and by doing that, avoided some trees, and the area that would be used for yard is already cleared. It's not forested at this point.
Okay, so you could push the house up to comply with the rear yard, but by doing that, you're saying it would be a worse plan, so to speak, than the plan you have? Is that's what the argument is?
We believe so. The septic system, as it's located on this map, does not interfere with any trees. The house itself, as I showed you, does have, I think, three trees that are interfered with, and the driveway. Now, we will try with our architect and our planner to arrange the driveway slightly differently to save at least that 28-inch maple. I'd love to save that one. The other trees are smaller, but I don't know that we can. So I don't want to represent that we can do that, but we can certainly make an effort to do that. I mean, this is from my daughter. She grew up on my property. It's 10 acres, two acres surrounded by 7 acres of woods. So, you know, she's used to big trees near the house. That doesn't scare us. And there are some beautiful maples, off the side of the property that we do not want to have to interfere with. They're not in the building, they're not in the area of the house. So considering the number of trees on the lot as a whole, we've tried to design it to do for as least environmental impact as possible.
Okay, I understand the facts now. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Hey, John Drill, I think one thing you said may not be correct. Can you see my screen, John?
Yes.
So you can see here that the garage sticks, I guess this is the south to the left. Most of the garage sticks outside the 75-foot setback. If the whole house were moved to the north, so there would be no encroachment, I'm guessing you'd have to move it, I don't know, 20-some feet, in which case it would stick out on the north side. So it's not just a case where you can – it's not just a less desirable position. If you're going to give away one – if you're going to fix one encroachment, you're going to create one on the other side.
That's true.
Mr. Fazio, do you agree with that?
Okay. I do.
Okay.
So let me ask you this. Just – What's the square footage of that garage? I'm just trying to figure out how much of this is due to the fact that the footprint is increasing from 1,400 square feet to 1,700 square feet versus anything else.
It's a standard two-car garage. Mr. Finelli joined us tonight. He's not only my architect but a friend of the family. Ralph, do you know what the square footage on the garage is?
Yeah, I tell you what. Let's get the witnesses sworn. Right now, you've basically given the opening statement, but who's going to testify on behalf of the applicant?
I have Mr. Fine, Mr. Newton, and Mr. Torella available, but I didn't have them join. If you need them, I'll bring them on.
Now, let's have Mr. Finelli sworn. So, Mr. Finelli, can you raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you're going to give in this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, so can you just – what is the square footage of that garage? And I know that there's a triangular piece that's within the setback, but there's also a triangular piece of the house. I'm just trying to approximate. If you give me the square footage of the garage, I think we'll have some idea of how much of the encroachment is due to the footprint of the house versus some other factor.
Sure. So the garage is 22 by 24 for a grand total of 528 square feet. So it's a pretty standard two-car garage size.
Right. But it's fair to say if the footprint of the house were reduced from 1,700 to 1,400 square feet, you could probably fit it into that building envelope. Is that correct?
Well, I didn't see the original plan that you referred to, but I think one of the big differences is that, you know, we've arranged this house on the site, as you can see here, sort of catty corner to the where the road bends. And I think that's the more natural and more attractive way to set this up.
I understand. Yeah.
But if you look at the building envelope, if you took this very footprint and just rotated it counterclockwise, right, we might lose those corners that are jutting into the yards, and we may not have to, you know, in theory, you might not have to make much of an adjustment at all to square footage. But I think this is a far better layout. So I don't know if it's just square footage. I think it's square footage and it's the shape of the building envelope based on the setbacks.
Yeah. Are you saying that you could take this building as proposed and fit it in that building envelope without shaving off a piece of the house?
I don't know 100%, but it looks pretty darn. I mean, just look at the footprint Right.
I'm looking at the footprint. Okay. I don't think it can be done. I think you would have to shave off.
You still have to shave off something. I agree.
Okay. All right. Again, I understand the facts.
Yep.
Is there anyone else that's going to testify that we want to get sworn in?
Only if the board believes it's necessary. I have them on call. I didn't have them call in to overwhelm the service, but they're available. I had Mr. Torella. I've submitted reports from each of them. Mr. Torella did the study for wetlands. Mr. Fine long ago prepared the septic design, which he sent you a letter about and says it's still viable, a four-bedroom septic design. And well, Mr. Newton.
Why don't we just proceed, and if we need them, we'll bring them on, but I'm thinking it's likely that we will not.
That's fine.
If you want to go ahead and present your case, please.
So what we're showing you here, folks, is a home which we've tried to locate on the property in a way that's attractive to the neighborhood, transitions the neighborhood nicely from a little bit smaller homes built probably 50, 60 years ago on smaller lots as part of an overall development. And unfortunately, no matter what we do with this building envelope, unless we were trying to build a 1,000-square-foot house, we would not be able to construct a home that would fit my daughter's family's needs, and we believe that this adequately will, and that's basically our application.
And you're applying for a C1 variant. Can you tell us about the proof's positive? It's not a C2 you're going for. This is not a benefits, right? You're going for a hardship?
Yes, it's all hardship. It's all bulk variances.
Mr. DeFazio, I understand the lot area, the lot width at the street, the lot width at the setback would all be C1s, just like the board dealt with the Misiak resolution, the Misiak application. But what about the rear yard setback? Especially because the Misiak resolution granted those C1 variances and didn't but the house complied with the front, side, and rear yard setbacks, and this one didn't. So that's a C1 or that's a C2?
John, you can tell me. You know this better than I do. I believe it's a C1, but
okay. Because from Mr. Finelli's the argument he was making, if you could comply with that setback, but the testimony is that this plan is a better plan, that's a C2.
Well, it's a better plan, but you cannot spin this house. We tried, Mr. Newton and I, just to make sure. We spun the house, and it does. You can't fit it in the envelope.
I understand. Again, my theory is the reason it doesn't fit in the envelope is because it's 1,700 square feet footprint rather than the 1,400 square foot footprint.
I understand.
But when you're dealing with an undersized lot, the way I look at it, that's clearly C1 hardship. But when you're dealing with the setbacks, that's not necessarily C1 hardship, especially if you have a prior approval for a house that's actually, more square footage in total, 1,700 square feet, but a different footprint.
Actually, it was 2,400 square feet, right? But a different footprint.
Yeah, 2,800 square feet. Right. 1,400 square foot per level. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Can I chime in?
Yep.
So I think if I can look at this, I'm not a planner, but I would look at this more closely resembling a C2 because I do think it's a better solution that drives the discussion. So if you can zoom out of that drawing just a little bit to show the road on the side, because I think one of the things that illustrates, if you looked at Forest Way, you would almost feel on a survey that that's a front yard, but we don't really have frontage on that road. So, and you can see the bend in the road on the lower right corner of the of your screen. So we clearly set this up to be catty corner on purpose, like you would very typically see corner lots in larger subdivisions. We also have that little corner, the lower left corner of the drawing as you look at it, and that corner is out of our property lines. So we have, and you know, we have this irregular shaped lot, and we do have a corner lot. So even though the setbacks are always, you know, parallel to the property lines, you know, the presentation of the house on the property and on the streetscape, I think is far better when it's catty corner. And so automatically by placing the house in this orientation, I know we're, you know, we're up against, you know, what the traditional setback dimensions are taken from. So yes, we are asking for a 48.5-foot rear yard setback variance. And I guess on the west side, there's a 67 or whatever that, that number is. But you can see that those are two building corners. We don't have a long, you know, we don't have the broad facade of that building, all of it at 48 feet off the property line. So I realize that, you know, we jut into both of those quite a bit, but I think it's the, I think it's really the right presentation for the neighborhood to put this house on an angle. And, you know, the rest of it is really, you know, once we do that, again, I know I'm repeating myself, but we're putting the house at a 45 degree angle basically to the property. And that's going to automatically just create these odd geometries where our closest corner is not parallel to a property line.
John, I would point out also that if you look at the from the corner of the garage to the left on the map, what's over there is acres, hundreds of acres of Department of Corrections fields. We're not encroaching on a neighbor's, you know, we're not going to be close to another home that's built there. That's just literally hundreds, if not more, acres of Department of Corrections open field. So I have no problem with the classification as C2. I get your point.
Okay, Tom. I think that that's their case, as I understand it.
Hey, could you just ask a question, Mr. Finelli? I'm looking the way this is drawn. You've got a line here that shows the 75-foot setback, but clearly this is not 75 feet off of this corner that's cut out here. If you spun the house, how far is the garage from this corner? Is it any farther from
much
this
closer.
Corner?
No, much closer than 48.5 feet.
Right. So does this make it, is this preferable because it's less of an encroachment? If I spun it around, am I closer to the property line?
You would be, if you rotated that, yeah. Yeah, listen, I would, wish I had thought of pointing that out. But no, if you spun that, you know, counterclockwise to be parallel with the southern property line, that corner of the garage would be closer to that, that cutout portion of our property than it is today. And it also would be closer and parallel, so it would be a consistent, you know, 45 or 44 feet away from the property line rather than just the corner, you know, jutting into the yard.
So is it accurate to say that this approximately minimizes the encroachment by putting it at an angle rather than putting it parallel and perpendicular to the property line?
And Tom, when you say encroachment, what you mean is it lessens the distance between the garage and the road. In other words, it's conceivable that if you rotated it, you might actually even, by shaving a little of the house off somewhere else, you could actually fit it into that building envelope, but the garage would be closer to the road than proposed.
I'm saying something. I'm saying he's not accurately drawn the building setbacks because it's supposed to be 75 feet, but clearly, I don't know if you can see my mouse moving, clearly between here and this property line is not 75 feet. This should have been drawn, cut in here. He's drawn a 75-foot line to this back line here.
I see what you're saying.
When you take a big corner out here, he should have taken a corner out here, too, of the building lot. So this is not accurately drawn, and my guess is that if he rotated the house so that it was parallel to this back line, he would be even closer to this corner. It would be worse than 48 feet.
Correct. I agree.
That, That was my question, and I think I heard Mr. Finelli say that that was probably accurate.
No, I agree with that. John was referencing the road, but you're talking about the corner of Block 46, Lot 21.
Southeast corner of the subject property.
Okay. Right. I understand what you're saying. Okay.
Yep.
That, by the way, is an undeveloped lot and dramatically undersized.
Oh, this lot right here?
Yes, it's undeveloped. There's nothing on that lot.
Okay.
Well, this is John Mattson speaking. There's a foundation there that there has been a house there that's torn down.
Originally, there was a house as part of the development, Mr. Mattson?
I'm sure that's correct, because you can you can see a pile of rubble still there that had been the slab or whatever that had been built on.
But presently, there's no house on it.
Correct.
This is Dave Roberts. Are you talking about Lot 21 that there's a foundation on?
Mr. John Mattson is saying that based on his knowledge of the area, that there's a foundation on Lot 21.
Well, let me clarify that a little bit. I drove by there on Saturday, and I couldn't swear that it's actually a foundation, but it looks like, there's a pile of rubble there.
Is it a pile of rubble, meaning someone could have dumped something on that property, or is it a pile of rubble that led you to believe that it was the remains of a structure that was demolished?
What it appeared like to me, Mr. Mattson, if I could help out here, what it appeared like to me is that that property is owned by the same people who own Lot 22, and I know there was a pile of wood that was being split and things of that nature and some other materials there, but I myself have not, and I've walked the perimeter multiple times, seen a foundation.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think the board, for purposes of this proceeding, I don't think you can assume that there was a house there that was demolished. I think you have to assume, unless you have some witness who can testify that there used to be a house there, that there's just some debris on that lot, but there's no house, and there's no evidence right now that there was a house.
Hey, if you want to share my screen, I just opened up Google Earth and looked at that. It's a pretty good scene. There's no leaves on the trees. There's nothing on that lot other than what appears to be a pile of firewood right in the center.
That's what I witnessed.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think if we move, the idea of rotating the house, the proposed house, presumably, if there had been a house on that lot, somebody's liable to come back at some point and want to build on that, even though it's more undersized than this lot.
And Dave, is that an argument for keeping the house rotated?
Well, it would be, in my opinion, because you'd want to avoid a broad side that close to the property line, and it would affect your privacy as well as the privacy of your potential neighbor.
Okay.
This is Tom Yeager. Question on that small adjoining lot 21. I read the resolution in past 2010 when this was approved that the adjoining properties were also too small to sell any property to your proposed lot right now. Did you attempt to do that again, or is that still the factor? You can't get any adjoining lands to make this lot larger, and also your side yard or rear yard would not be as bad as it is, per se.
We did not, because reading what I read before, it was not purchasable. There's nothing around the property. Directly behind the property is a substantial home on, I think, 5 acres. to the one side is the private road. The only property that borders us is that property, and that was not purchasable and is being used by the owners of Lot 22. So we did not, but it would not resolve our problem in terms of lot size anyway.
No, I understand lot size. I didn't know if it would help setbacks in any way, but I agree, you know, that it's still a substandard lot, but it is a separate lot, so it would even make the condition worse on that particular lot.
I agree, but I don't expect that lot will be developed. I do think the way Ralph has oriented the house best protects against anything there, but it has been vacant for, since the development was built, as far as I know.
Okay.
Do other people have questions?
Why was the this is David Pfeffer? Why was the wetlands study conducted? Because I saw that it came back with no wetlands, no surface waters, or anything like that. Was there a concern?
No. It's requested on the submission requirements for the application.
Oh, okay. I think that maybe I'm wrong, Denise. We usually end up waiving that, don't we? If there's no evidence whatsoever, so maybe I'm wrong about that.
They could have requested a waiver.
But we thought it better to make sure that we had, because we have to be concerned about that for building purposes, too, when we go to get a building permit. So I wanted to make sure that my daughter wasn't going to be faced with the wetlands issue, and right. There's not. This is a sloped property on the side of the mountain. I didn't think there'd be a problem, but I wanted to make sure.
Yeah, Dave, I think they did it more for due diligence for themselves than for purposes of the board, but since they did it, they submitted it just to show the board that there were no wetlands. Is that right, okay. Mr. DeFazio?
That's absolutely correct.
All right, that makes sense. I just wanted to make sure there wasn't something that, you know, that maybe there was a feature on the property that even though it wasn't wetlands, you were trying to avoid it with the building placement or something like that.
No, absolutely not.
Other questions?
In terms of topography, because I'm noticing the contour lines kind of flow with the orientation of the house. Was that intentionally the house oriented intentionally also to work with the actual contours of the property?
Well, we wanted to work with the contours of the property and with the issues with trees. There's some beautiful maple trees directly off the corner of the property. You see the one big one showing up there. And we wanted to try and do everything we could to preserve as many trees as possible while having a yard, having a driveway, and having a home, and the contours of the property. This way also, the system, the septic system, unfortunately, something I don't particularly like, but the septic system will require a pump system. It's part of the plan, but it's only being pumped up, if I remember correctly, it's about 4 feet.
Actually, since you put something in about the trees, can you go into a little bit more detail for the benefit of the board about that?
I started off by saying there are some trees on the...
Actually, you know what, Mr. DeFazio, I have a very good idea. Even though you're the attorney representing the prospective purchaser who's your daughter, let's swear you in because you actually have factual knowledge about this so we don't have to call the other experts. Can you raise your right hand?
Certainly, of course.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you've already given in this proceeding and the additional testimony that you're going to give in this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
Absolutely, I do.
Okay, and you're going to be testifying not as an expert. You're going to be testifying as a fact witness since it seems like you have really prepared this application rather than any of the experts. Is that correct?
Well, I retained all these experts to do jobs that I couldn't do, obviously. Mr. Newton had prepared the map for Mr. Misiak, and he had also prepared the map for Mr. Peck. So we went back to Mr. Newton to have him do that work for us. He prepared the map. He made, as you can see from the legend on the right side of the map, he did all the investigation regarding neighboring septic systems and so forth. This property... thankfully, is serviced by public water, So there's no wells in the area. It's public water. If you go up with the legend directly above that, you'll see there are no septic systems. It's serviced by public water. The contours, I think you went a little bit too high. Yeah, the contours shown here are based on actual field surveys. This survey makes no representation as to environmental subsurface condition or subsurface conditions, but of course we had the wetland study done by Jeff Torella to make sure we didn't have a problem with that. So all of those representations were made by Mr. Newton in his, on his map. The fact that not that it would be any different for any client, but this is my daughter that's purchasing this. We're hoping to build this house for her and my grandson. And so I've been very much involved in walking the property. I walked the property when we conducted a tank sweep to make sure that there was nothing left over from the prior demolition. I've walked the property multiple times. I'm very familiar with it. Took a lot of photos in the neighborhood and so forth.
So I'm going to list you as the applicant's attorney and a fact witness with knowledge of features of the property.
Thank you. So with respect to the trees, if you look at the map that's up on the screen right now, you can see that unfortunately, I'll have to go from my map, but there's an 18-inch ash. Of course, with what we're dealing with infestation right now, that may not last anyway. There's a 14, to the, that's right by the, back of the house. There's a 14-inch maple directly off the right side of the house if you're looking at it from the front. There's that group of larger trees below that and closer to the property line, which we very much want to keep. That's one of our big issues. There's a big beautiful tree in front. So there's essentially three trees in the house envelope that will have to be removed, and one, two, three, four trees in the present configuration of the driveway. We may be able to move the driveway over a little bit closer to the property line and avoid two of those, which I'm happy to do. Or if not two, maybe even three, maybe even that big, beautiful maple. I'd like to try and avoid those. But other than that, the way the house is situated now, as you can see behind it, there really is an open area and to the side for a yard for the house. And, of course, we don't want too much yard because we got Ferran Field a block away. So there's plenty of room for sports and things right up the street. And that's pretty much what I've noticed and why when I went to Ralph, we tried to configure the house for all the reasons he stated. He was very committed to this alignment, and as am I and my daughter, because we think it works perfectly with the contour of the road. So as you turn that corner, you'll look up directly at the front porch of the house through the woods, but also because it had less impact on trees than it might have had if we oriented it differently.
Dan, what you're right. That's what you're – if you did rotate it, what you're saying is – You'd have to remove more trees. Is that correct?
Potentially.
Okay. And if the board were to be in favor of granting this, what sort of condition should be imposed regarding what you should try to do with the driveway to save some more trees? Give me some suggested words.
If you look at the driveway, John, if you see the way the driveway comes up, there's three trees that we're losing. Now, if I could come in and stay closer to the property line with the driveway, I can avoid all those trees and actually cut a path. Maybe the only one we might still have to use is the 12-inch, loses the 12-inch maple. The other ones would be inside the driveway. So it would be, if we moved it over about 5 or 6 feet, maybe 8 feet, we might be able to save all those. Now, driveways often interfere with root base, so that may be a problem, but I'd rather try it than not.
So maybe a condition, something to the effect of the applicant shall reconfigure the driveway to save as many trees as possible?
We're fine with that.
The This is Tom Yeager again. What about the stormwater management? I remember that being in the past approval that that was going to be constructed as well. I know you have gravity, so everything would go out the back. You said before there was a clean or a clear area. Would you be able to put your stormwater basins in the back?
Well, actually,
everything goes out the front, actually.
Everything runs to the front, Tom. The property.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to I'm the contours the wrong way. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I should know better. So the dry wells would go toward the front then?
Correct.
All right. And it's somewhat of a clear area, so you have that.
Yeah, we don't have – well, because when you look at that front area, Tom, that's where if you go up probably 25 feet from the front of the front porch on the house we hope to build, that's about where the envelope was for the – existing house, and then the house that was planned by Mr. Misiak. So that's wide open in there. The only thing that comes up that way that we'll have to be careful of is the water line. Other than that, that's that there are no trees in there. That would be a problem.
Okay.
Other questions? None. Does anyone have a problem with the application?
Could you please explain how you would mitigate the rear setback situation with landscaping and what have you, and remind me again of what's back there?
Well, the way the property is oriented, if you look at the back corner of the property where it's 66.75 feet to the yard, to the back line, I'm talking back off the back of the back of the house, directly to the back property. That next home, which is owned by Robert O'Connor, sits probably 200 feet further up that lot. His lot is a very large lot. It sits 200 feet further up. It's beautifully landscaped, wooded with Pacassandra around the trees. It's just a gorgeous piece of property. So there is – it's – actually, you don't see his property when you're standing on this property. You don't see his house. You're nowhere near that. You're probably 250 to 300 feet away from the existing house that sits there. It's a lovely colonial that sits up the driveway on the upper side.
So therefore, he wouldn't see your daughter's proposed house either.
No, I don't think
even with the lack of 75-foot setback.
Right. He's got plenty of trees on his property that will block all of that view. But if there were a problem, I have absolutely no problem if I take out five or six trees of putting trees back on that property line. If it does create a problem and that's recommended, I'd be happy to do that. I don't think you need anything to the other side because that's all open field for the Department of Corrections. There's nothing built all the way down till the reformatory buildings all the way down on Petticoat. So I don't think that's an issue, but certainly I wouldn't want Mr. O'Connor to feel as though I think he'll be happy with what he's looking at, quite frankly. I think what we're going to build here is a lovely little home, but if that's a problem, I'd be happy to build screening trees, put in some screening trees along that line.
Thank you.
Are the existing trees on his property that you're saying would block the view, are they deciduous or are they evergreen?
From what I recall, deciduous, large, large trees, probably from the size of them, I would say oaks and tulip poplars largely. But his house also, the property runs up. The slope continues that you see from the contours. That continues up the side of the mountain. So out of his front windows, he probably looks well over the top of this property and down towards Ferran Field and out over the valley.
Yeah. And again, you know, if you want a screen share, I can show you the Google Earth photograph, but there's nothing but, honestly, but forest. There's nothing but trees from that property that Mr. DeFazio is referencing to the subject property. It's all trees.
Can we see that?
Hey, you're more than happy to. I'm not sure how it, you know, if you can share a screen from your end, go right ahead, and I can zoom in if you like. But If you do that, you'll see on the left side, you'll see the house that Mr. DeFazio is referring to. You can see Forest Way and Round Top Drive. You can see the firewood that we referenced being in the small lot to our north and the nearest neighbor as well.
Where the arrow is pointing, right now, is approximately where the house would be built, and then you can see it's all forested all the way up to Mr. O'Connor's house.
John, is it okay that we do this, or do we need to mark these things as exhibits? You know, obviously, you know,
This can Tom, can you take a screenshot of this and we'll call this A1 and have a hard copy put in the board file? Because technically, David Pfeffer is correct. We're going to mark as exhibit A1 the screenshot from Google Earth.
Impressive, John.
Got it. Denise, I will mail this to you.
Actually, for my file, if you could also email me a copy of it also, please.
Yes, will do.
Did you want to see anything else while this screen's on?
There's the pile of wood. Yeah.
Hear the future resident of the potential house, I think.
I apologize.
He's getting hungry. Sorry.
You didn't swear him in, Mr. Drill. You didn't swear him in.
Right. So, Tom, no one wants to see anything else. We'll leave that. That's our exhibit A1. That'll be the only exhibit.
Okay. I'm saving this now. Are there any other questions or comments?
Could I also ask, Tom, this is Heidi. As I recall from the materials, the applicant also asked for a variance on the, I'm reading from my notes, so correct me if I'm wrong, the lot width at the building, which, of course, was not one of the requested variances in 2010. Now, is that something that's really necessary, the lot width at the building?
I think that was in the 2010 resolution. I read it over today. I think that was in there.
I think the two things that was asked for in 2010 was the lot size and the lot width at the street.
Let me just go. I'm going to go into that resolution right now. And the relief granted, which is on page 6 going up to page 7, was C1 variance from the 65,000 square foot minimum lot size requirement and from the 50 feet at the street minimum lot width requirement. So I don't believe they needed a variance at that time for lot width at the building, because the building, again, had a footprint of 1,400 square feet. So I guess the variance now for the lot width at the building, we should probably make a C2 consistent with the setback variance and leave the lot area and the lot width at the street as C1s, because, I mean, those are classic hardships. But I think Heidi is correct in that, Tom.
John, I think the way the house was situated when Mr. Misiak had it on the plans, it was further up towards the street. So I don't believe it was necessary then because...
Right, correct. That's what I'm saying. Right.
Yeah, but I think it was actually, even at 1,400 versus 1,700, I don't think he needed the lot width because I don't think the ordinance required it, but because the lot actually would be smaller as you went up further. for lot width at the building. So I don't think he needed it because of the status of the zoning at that point in time.
The lot width at building, I believe, was a requirement at that time. I don't think that was added.
No, no, what I mean is I don't think it was the same requirement in terms of feet. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, well, correct. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that I believe Heidi is correct in that the only variances required 2010 were lot area and lot width at the street, and those are C1 classic hardships because there's nothing that you can do to alleviate those issues. With lot width at the building, that's created now because of the configuration of the 1,700 square foot footprint building. And so for this, if the board's going to grant the variance for the rear yard setback deviations under C2 because it makes a better plan, the way I see things, the lot width at the building should also then be granted on the same theory as a C2.
I agree.
Any other discussion then? Talk about conditions.
So the conditions that I have so far, besides the standard conditions from the board rules, the one condition is reconfigure the driveway to save as many trees as possible. And then Heidi had asked, does the board want to impose a condition requiring planting trees to screen the O'Connor lot? And what Mr. Finelli has basically testified and has shown through Exhibit A1 is there's really no need for that condition, but that's up to the board.
I'll give you my personal take on this would be to not impose a condition. Mr. O'Connor presumably was notified and isn't here to express any concern about a house being built there. And when I look at the screen that's up now, looks like there's a lot of trees between his house and this house. So it would be my personal inclination not to impose any additional conditions on the applicant. Anyone else can speak up if they feel differently. I hear no objections. Okay. And John, could you just run down the list of C1 versus C2, please, that were
That's debating? Funny you should say that. I just made the list. So the way I count them, there's a total of 5 variances. C1 variances for an undersized lot, a lot area variance, and for the lot width at street deficiency. And then 3 C2 variances, a C2 variance for lot width at the building, and a C2 variance for each of the rear yard deviations, the rear yard setback deviations.
Okay. Does anyone else have any comments, questions, suggestions? If not, could we have a motion to grant the relief as described? And let me see, everyone is eligible to vote except for Heidi at this point, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh, and Dan, you're not eligible on this one either, right?
I believe that's correct.
Okay. So could I have a motion to grant the relief as described, please?
So moved.
That's Dave Pfeffer. And a second?
I'll second.
That's John Matson. Oh, Dave Roberts. Oh, you sound just like John Matson. Okay.
He did.
Oh, yeah?
And when he asks you to call the roll, just go slow for me, please.
Okay. Shall I call the roll, Chairman?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Dr. Lewis?
Yes.
Mr. Matson?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
Mr. Roberts?
Yes.
Ms. Stevens?
Yes.
And Mr. Yeager?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Okay.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
it. Best of luck.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Hey, Denise, before we adjourn, can you just tell us what is on the agenda for the upcoming meetings?
As far as upcoming meetings, we have two applications that remain incomplete. I don't know if either of the applications will be complete for the next meeting or not. It's a little too early to tell.
And they're both residential?
No. One of them is residential, and the other one is a use variance on the old, for Clinton Agricultural Associates, the old Dobbs property on Route 22.
Okay. That's right. Thanks. Okay. Does anyone else have anything they want to talk about?
Tom, that resolution for the virtual meeting, is that being worked on?
Yeah, I, Denise, did I send you a draft of the resolution for virtual meetings?
I do not recall seeing one.
Okay, I did a resolution. I probably just neglected to send it out to you. I did one for Bernard's Township. I know I did one for Reddington, so all I have to do is substitute the name. So I'll get that to you.
Okay. I guess there'll be one for each board then?
Yeah, correct. Separate resolutions. Saying the same things, but yeah.
Right.
Okay, can I have a motion to adjourn, please?
I'll make that a motion, Tom Yeager.
I'll second.
And a second. Dave Pfeffer, thank you. All in favor? Aye.
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 All right. Thanks, everyone. Take care. John,
Jonathan,
drill.
Fly back Wednesday. It'll be landing on Thursday. Yeah.
Jonathan, drill. I was going to say, I'm impressed by being so far away here, so still close to us.
Yeah, the advantage of these virtual meetings.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting.
So, I'm impressed so much. At the time that it is, and you're on the meeting.
a little nap. And a lot of coffee.
John, for the rest of your time with the family.
Be safe.
We wouldn't have known. We, you know, if you were in New Jersey, it would have been safe.
I know. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right. Have a great weekend or a great week, everybody.
All right. Thanks. Take care.